Now, a very warm welcome tonight. We're certainly delighted to see all who have come. And I might just say that I'm very impressed that wet weather doesn't keep people from coming to meetings. Snow may bother Vancouverites, but rain doesn't. And so we're very glad that you've come along tonight and would remind you of the meetings that are continuing each night in the will of God, 8 o'clock here through the week and 7:30 on Sunday. Now that means that there will be a meeting here at 8 o'clock tomorrow night in the will of God, Sunday at 7:30, and then again next week, Monday through Friday, again at 8 p.m. Now there is a prayer meeting just prior to this meeting in the basement, and we deeply value all who have come to spend time at the throne of grace. And then, again, there's a very short prayer meeting immediately after this for those that can stay just for a few moments to commend the words of the gospel to God. Now, we might just mention that on Sunday afternoon in the Fleetwood Gospel Hall, there will be a ministry meeting at 3:30. Now, that means that there will be no ministry meeting here in Woodland. Some may have thought that there would have been, but that has been scheduled for the Fleetwood Hall, and we certainly would invite all to come along. Now, again, we're very thankful that you're here tonight. Might just say that if you have questions as to what is said, and we realize that sometimes we might say things that are unclear, maybe the gospel is new to you. But if you have questions, we certainly would invite you just to ask questions. There's no pressure. We will not buttonhole people. We will not force anything upon you. But we certainly appreciate the privilege of sitting down with an open Bible and simply explaining what God is saying to each one of us in these last closing days of grace. I'd like to read in the book of 2 Kings tonight, chapter 5. 2 Kings, chapter 5. And I'm just going to read three very familiar portions here. I'm sure that many in the audience tonight have heard these readings, but I trust that God will bless. 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse number 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. You might just hold your finger at that place. We're going to come back to the Old Testament, but I'd like to read in the Gospel of Luke in a second reading, chapter 12. Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. Verse number 16. Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, and verse number 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, or thou unwise one, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? And just back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, just a little to the right of where we first read, Isaiah chapter 53. Verse number 3. I'm sure all who have read this before will understand that Isaiah was writing of the coming Savior, this root out of a dry ground. Isaiah 53 and verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement or the punishment of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, God has promised to bless his word, and we have confidence that he will do exactly that tonight. What we have read, perhaps you have noticed the very simple word, but, that has interjected itself into each one of these three readings. And as you have maybe followed what we have read, three very diverse readings, but you'll understand that there is a certain point in which the picture is building. More and more descriptions are being added. And in some cases, it's a picture-perfect situation. You can just get the sense that the smile is getting bigger on this person's face. If Naaman were to be over there tonight and I were to describe what we had noticed in the early part of the verse, we would say, there's the man. Wonderful to be like him. If that rich farmer that we have read in Luke chapter 12 were to be standing in our midst tonight and I were to be able to tell you all of his assets, we'd say, wow, what a man. Success personified. If I could take you to all the storage bins and silos and barns that belong to him, you say, man, that's where it's at. But though the picture grows brighter and greater and more appealing, there comes a point where the picture is shattered. And tonight, that is exactly where we find ourselves in this meeting, in this world. You know that as you look at your Bibles tonight, and perhaps I'm speaking to some here, and we're delighted that you're here, but maybe the Bible is a strange book to you. It was a strange book to me one day. But as you look at your Bible, you will find that the Bible really, in a very broad sense, is the unfolding, is the tracing of two wonderful stories, of two very important realities. History has been rightly called his story. And as we look at our Bibles, we find that from Genesis to Revelation, that the hand of God and the finger of the Almighty is seen moving in the affairs of this world. I don't know if you've ever looked at it that way. But we find that God moves in wondrous grace. God made us for himself. God made us that we might enjoy him. In fact, the Bible tells us his delights. What moves his heart? What is the focus of his attention? His delights are with the sons of men. That's us. His whole focus is on this world. And as we watch his movings, yes, he moves in consistency with his character. He moves in absolute holiness. But all behind all of his movings is the wonderful truth of his grace. And down through the ages, he has spoken to individuals and he has spoken to this world in mighty salvation. God's heart has been focused toward this world in wonderful love. And tonight, he is still the one who's moving. He is still speaking. If God seems far off to you, then, friend, you don't know who he is. He has drawn near to us. He speaks to us. Nothing is out of control. Nothing is off schedule. History is His story. And it's the tracing of His love and the tracing of His grace. But this book also traces another reality. It traces our story. And while God's grace is there with His wonder and His utter amazement, our story is black with failure, with sin, with guilt, and with tragedy. Man started here. And a day came when man began a journey downwards. And tonight, every single one of us that has been born into this world begins a pathway downward. This world is headed downward. And as we look at our Bible, we find that God, in honesty, with accuracy, traces that story downward. And tonight, what we have read are the results of those two tracings. We have read in the second book of Kings, chapter 5, about this man with all of his assets and with all of his accomplishments. I've already mentioned that this picture of this man is delightful. Here was a man who knew success. Here was a man who was an honorable citizen. Here was a man who had risen up through the ranks of the military, and he had reached the top rank of those forces. Here is a man that was trustworthy. And furthermore, when you look at his very name, you'd love to have had Naaman living next to you because his name means pleasant. And if he had been here tonight with all of his medals on his lapel, we would have said, there he is. But behind all of the outward appearance, the Word of God gives us the true picture. The accurate x-ray. And like you may have come into this meeting, and outwardly, everything appears fine. But as God looks on the inward appearance, as God looks at the heart, as God exposes the condition of our souls, He makes us aware of man's fatal flaw, of the awful reality of our sin. And what changes His entire picture is the fact that the Bible adds these five tragic words, but He was a leper. And all of a sudden what seemed to be so wonderful became tragic. Because here was a man, and his days were limited. He was terminally ill. Do you know what I see in this picture? I see a man who seemed to be so strong. The commander. But in the issues that really count, he was so weak. Do you know something? Naaman could well live without medals, but he couldn't live without his health. Here was a man who seemed to be so successful. He was a winner. But of the issues that really mattered, he was losing the battle. Losing ground because of the dreaded reality of that condition and of that disease. Outwardly, he was picture perfect. But on the inside, there was that awful disease and there was that fatal flaw. And tonight God leaves this picture on the page of Scripture as a reminder, as a lesson, as an illustration of where we are tonight. Because Naaman's description is our description. Naaman's condition is our condition. Naaman's problem is our problem. We are dealing with not leprosy, we are dealing with sin. And God has brought you to this meeting to make you understand that sin is your problem. sin has ruined everything. Sin has brought a separation between God and man. Sin has brought a downward course upon every single individual. Sin has begun its deadly work. Sin is a power that we can't evade. Sin reigns tonight. Sin affects all of our lives. And the Bible traces its course forth, and it says simply this: sin, when it's finished, it brings forth death. I wonder tonight, have you ever faced your true condition before God? That you have sinned? That you have come short of God's standards? And like that dreaded disease of leprosy or cancer or AIDS or whatever you want to call it, there are going to be consequences for that disease of yours. What seemed to be so wonderful was marred by the reality seen within. They tell me that sin brings an insensitivity to pain. Some of you may have read of accounts where an individual with leprosy will go to a wash basin in the morning to wash. But there's no sensitivity to pain. There's no awareness of what is happening. And I've read of individuals who have gone to the basin and who have washed their face day after day with scalding hot water. But they feel no pain. They don't know what's happening. I've read of individuals that have had a broken ankle, and their ankle has become twisted underneath their leg. But because they can't feel pain, they continue on day after day, unaware of what's happening. Leprosy is insensitivity to pain. And tonight, the tragic condition that has marked and marred all of our lives has brought an insensitivity to what it's doing to us. I have to admit tonight that I truly don't understand the full effects of sin. But sin has touched every aspect of our being. It has brought darkness to our understanding. It has brought depravity to our hearts. And what God calls good, we call evil. And what God calls evil, we call good. We turned our own way because we think that we know best. And as we go down the road of life, sin marks us. But we don't understand what it's doing. We think we're living. And all the time we're going deeper into the slavery and the bondage and the awful pain that sin brings. And oh, here's a man. And on the matters, on the issues that mattered most, he was helpless. Tonight you have to face your true condition. You have to face your sin. It's your sin that you are accountable to God for. It's your sin that you will answer for. It's your sin that has separated you from God. And it's your sin that will ultimately bring eternal wages with it. What you need tonight desperately is to have your sins removed. Man's fatal flaw, the awful reality of sin, is seen in 2 Kings chapter 5. You may have come into this meeting. You may be a very wonderful mother, a wonderful father. You may be a very faithful employee or employer. You may be a wonderful neighbor to live with. You may be respectable, and I could go on and on. But God gives the true assessment. And tonight, we are sinners. We have been in Luke chapter 12, another picture. A man who was a success. Isn't that what the world is all about? Isn't that what we're all pursuing? Bigger? Better? More? That's what the world is worshiping tonight. That's what we're pursuing. And here's a man. And the dollar bills just kept ringing in the till. Here's a man who had a bumper crop. Here's a man who sat down with his financial planner. Here's a man who very strategically began to map out a course concerning the future. And here's a man who was decisive. He was a good businessman as well as a good planner and a good farmer. But there's one thing that this man forgot. This man forgot that he himself wasn't in the driver's seat. He forgot that he was living under the sovereign hand of God to whom he was accountable. And as this man lays aside the blueprints, I tend to think he likely had a cup of tea. He was living in Newfoundland anyway. Decided to go to bed. Here's a man who never figured that it was his last night. He had big plans. He had the money to carry out those plans. He was a success. He was an intelligent man. He was somebody that the world looked up to. But just a few words changed that entire picture, and suddenly his idyllic dream came shattering to a close. And the Bible says, a moment came as the man went to bed that God stepped in. And the Bible says, but God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Let's bring it to Woodland Drive in Vancouver tonight. We all have plans. Nobody's expecting to be gone during this night. I have things planned for tomorrow, I might as well admit. Not only tomorrow, but next week. And I better stop there because I'm a future planner. But there's not an individual here tonight that has any guarantee of being here tomorrow. What you need to face personally and urgently now concerns where you will be in eternity. Because there's a day coming for all of us when God will say, this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Could I ask you very simply, if that moment came tonight, where would your soul be? If you breathed your last, am I talking fantasy tonight? Or is this a reality that all of us must face when we breathe our last and take a final step into eternity? There is a heaven, thank God. And tonight there are those in this meeting, and if we were to go tonight to be absent from the body, present with the Lord, there is a hell beneath. And for some in this meeting, if you were to breathe your last, it would be absent from the body, present in hell. And I can't tell when that moment will come for me, and I can't tell when that moment will come for you, but it's coming. We have read in Isaiah chapter 53, and really, I trust my brother will expand on this tonight. We have read of a world, and their response to the Lord Jesus was one of scorn, one of abuse. The Bible says that he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He did things for us. He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we said, not interested. He moved in wonderful blessing. We said, not interested. In fact, not only were we not interested,
but we hated him without a cause. And all of our hearts are the same. We have all lived independently of God. We don't need Christ. We'll do it our own way. We can handle it. We don't need a Savior.
And in that terrible picture, God stepped in. And with one simple word, he changed the entire picture around. And the blackness of our sin and of our rebellion and our rejection of the Lord Jesus, it says, but, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And what happened at that cross is the unfolding of the heart of God. What happened at that cross is that God himself stepped in, and in the person of his own beloved Son, he did a work for us that we could never do for ourselves. And there at dark Calvary, a love that many waters could not quench willingly took a cup of wrath and drained it. There might be salvation for us. And I look back tonight to 28 years ago, and the 6th of March was a wonderful day when I understood for the first time he was wounded for my transgressions. What he experienced at the cross was for me. I trust tonight, as the gospel is further preached, you might take both sides of the equation, both sides of the story. Face your side and receive God's side and come into the blessing of sins forgiven.